From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today for another Let the Bible Speak program. This is Alan Cairns, and in a few moments we're going to be turning to God's Word as we continue our study in the subject of the law of God, continuing to think indeed of the permanence of the law. And we're going to be looking at the consequences that arise from holding it. Also in today's broadcast, I'm going to be commenting just in a few minutes on the 200th anniversary of the birth of the Mormon false prophet Joseph Smith. So I'm going to be talking to you quite openly and bluntly about Mormons celebrating their false prophet. Before we get to that, however, we'll have some music, and before we get to the music, I remind you of our website, and trust that you'll visit us there at letthebiblespeakradio.com or ltbsradio.com. Check out our bookstore for the books that are available, the pamphlets that are available, and the various DVDs and CDs and tapes that you may be interested in. Also remember to write or call us here if you're interested in some of the resources that I've been mentioning here on Let the Bible Speak. Especially we're wanting to introduce Dr. Panosian's study of Islam to as many people as possible. You can have it on cassette or on CD. And also we do want you to join our mailing list for our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. We want you to join the mailing list for our Let the Bible Speak monthly audio tape or cassette, an audio magazine that is certainly beneficial and blessed. God has used it to encourage and edify many of His people, and you can have it free as you write or call and ask for it. So remember our mailing address, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And the toll-free telephone number, 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. 100 years ago, Joseph Smith was born, and Mormons have been celebrating the event. Mormons look on Smith as God's prophet, the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mormon spokesmen have sought to cast their adulation of Smith as a thoroughly Christian celebration, and present their church as a thoroughly Christian church, their Book of Mormon as the completion of the Bible, as God's written revelation to mankind. In fact, the Book of Mormon is not sacred scripture. It is anti-biblical. Joseph Smith was not a prophet of the living God, and the church he founded is not a legitimate Christian church, but a cult. The Book of Mormon is a fraud. Joseph Smith claimed that the angel Moroni visited him and led him to a set of buried gold plates that contained the ancient records of Christ's dealings with the inhabitants of the Americas, written in Reformed Egyptian characters. Smith claimed that he translated these plates, which had been hidden since 420 A.D., with the aid of the Urim and Thummim. You remember the ancient Israelite high priest was given those by God for matters of judgment. Strange to relate, the translation of these plates that have lain hidden since 420 A.D. has extensive quotations from the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. It is riddled, that is, the Book of Mormon is riddled, with historical errors. It openly contradicts the Bible on important matters, and is actually an embellishment of Joseph Spaulding's unpublished and stolen novel, The Manuscript Found. Mormons seek to escape this charge by deceitfully referring to another Spaulding novel, The Manuscript Story. They can show that the Book of Mormon does not derive from that Spaulding novel, but the deception can't eradicate the evidence that their so-called prophet foisted a huge lie on the world, and on that lie he founded the Mormon Church. So the Book of Mormon's a fraud. The doctrines of Mormonism are unchristian. Joseph Smith was succeeded by Brigham Young as the leader of the Mormons, and it was Young who led them to Utah. He followed Smith in his belief in and practice of polygamy, each man having scores of wives. These men laid the foundation for a system of such utter anti-Christian heresy that it's astonishing that anyone with a modicum of common sense or of biblical knowledge could call them in any way Christian. Let me go down a list of things. Mormonism teaches that Adam came into the Garden of Eden with a celestial body, bringing with him Eve, one of his wives. Brigham Young declared, "He is our Father and our God, the only God with whom we have to do." Mormonism teaches that there are many gods, including Jesus Christ and his Father. Joseph Smith said, "The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's." Mormonism holds that our Lord Jesus Christ was a polygamist. Brigham Young stated that Jesus Christ was begotten in Mary by, and I quote, "the same character that was in the Garden of Eden, who is our Father in heaven." And he meant Adam. Joseph Smith stated, "Abraham received concubines, and they bare him children, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Go ye therefore and do the works of Abraham. Enter ye into my law," that is, the law of polygamy, "and ye shall be saved." These are just a few of the heinous heresies of Mormonism, one of the most successful cults in secular terms, but one of the most satanic. Joseph Smith is not a character to commemorate, but rather to abominate. And having spoken of a false prophet, it's good now to turn to the infallible Word of God, the Word that you can depend on for complete truth and unadulterated truth. We're thinking particularly upon the permanence of God's law. No matter what you've been told to the contrary, God's law is permanent. Today we recap the facts that the fall did not abrogate the law, and time does not erode it. God's law is indeed permanent.
I want to tell you, my friend, God holds you as truly responsible to His law, to the necessity of an absolutely perfect obedience, as He did Adam in the Garden of Eden. The fall does not abrogate it. Time does not erode it. You see, and this is one thing that has come home to my heart as I've studied God's Word in this. This law reflects the eternal perfection of the nature of God. Therefore, it is unchanging as a standard of right and wrong. Now think of this. There are some things that are right merely because God commands them. No other reason. That makes them right. It's what theologians call a positive law. For example, God commanded the law of tithing. The Israelites received it, and I believe He carried it over even into His New Testament church. But He commanded the law of tithing. That's a positive law. Why is it a tithe and not an eighth? Because God commanded it. Why is it a tithe and not a half? Because God commanded it. It's a positive law. But the moral law is not merely positive. In other words, God does not give us the moral law and say, this is right because I command it. That would be true. But He goes further and He says, I command it because it is eternally right. There's a world of difference. You see, tithing does not express the eternal holiness of God. Oh, it's right for us to tithe because God says so. But when God gives us the Ten Commandments, He is revealing to us in terms whereby we can understand Him and respond to Him. He is revealing to us the essential holiness and justice and greatness and goodness of His own nature. The moral law of God is rooted in the nature of God. Has God changed with time? I get fed up listening to all the blabbering fools who disgrace the Christian pulpit talking about modern man and modern life and modern needs and modern morality. Has God changed? He says, I am Jehovah. I change not. Paul said, Jesus Christ is the same. A great old Presbyterian theologian from Northern Ireland thought that the best expression of Paul's meaning there was Jesus Christ is Himself yesterday and today and forever. Has God changed? Well, let me put it like this to you. When God changes, then we can take it His law will change. When God ceases to be unspeakably, eternally, immutably holy, just and good, then His law may change. But until then, His moral law never changes. Time does not erode it. The great issues of the Ten Commandments are not matters that change with the climate of public opinion or with religion or with culture. They are the absolutes to which God holds every man and every nation. Furthermore, grace does not annul the moral law. We read that clearly in our text. The Lord Jesus did not come to destroy it. For believers, of course, the law as a covenant whereby we work our way to heaven is finished. God does not say to us, as He said to Adam before the fall, here is a standard of personal obedience whereby you gain the blessing of God's promise. No, no. You're not justified by obeying the law. You try to get to heaven by obeying the law, you'll end up in hell. For who can keep God's law? Where is the man who can stand beside the holy book of God's law and say, Lord, look at my heart. I'm sinless. Look at my thoughts. I'm sinless. Look at all my actions. I am sinless. I have not left undone one thing I should have done. I have not done anything I ought not to have done. I have not deviated from the absolute standard of divine perfection. Where is the man who can say it? Not one of us. We stand condemned as guilty, law-breaking wretches. Rebels against the throne of heaven. But oh, thank God, Christ can say that. Here is the man, Christ Jesus, in His life, in His person, in His thoughts, in His motives, in His actions, in His death, in every part of Him, He can stand before God, as He does, and say, I am perfect. What a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, having fully satisfied God's law and fully honored God's law, having paid the price of the broken law in the shedding of His blood at Calvary, now saves His people from the condemnation of the law. Hiding in Christ, we're saved for all eternity. There's only one hiding place when it comes to that judgment day. And that is to stand in Him who has perfectly satisfied the law. Let me ask you tonight, are you standing in Christ? Can you say, He is my righteousness? I'm not trusting what I have done. I'm trusting what He has done. Is that your testimony? If you are in Christ, let me make it clear to you. The grace that saves you writes the law of God on your heart. We have read that already in Hebrews 8 verse 10. I'll put my law in their minds and in their hearts. I will write this law. In other words, the mark of people who are genuinely trusting Jesus is that they regard God's law. They love God's law. And by God's grace, they strive to keep God's law. Now, you listen to me very carefully. For I think this is one of the great scourges of modern America. The Bible knows absolutely nothing. If you forget most of what I've said, remember this. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this glib, cheap, easy, meaningless profession of salvation by faith, so-called. that leaves a man without any concern to obey his God. We have populated our churches with people who have made one decision after another, and oh yes, I'm a Christian. Of course, they live like the devil. They've imbibed a theology which says the law is passed, free from the law, oh happy condition. As I said last week, taking those words in a way that neither the scriptures nor the hymn writer would ever entertain. I don't need to keep God's law. That's why you look at churches tonight. You'll find adulterers in the pulpit and in the pew. Now let me say, a church pew is a good place to bring an adulterer or a thief or a vagabond or a sinner in order to get him the gospel and get him saved. But we have populated our churches with people who can live in open, willful, wicked, wretched defiance of the law of God and then say, oh, of course, I'm trusting Jesus. I tell you, it is a lie. You are not trusting Jesus. If your heart has no concern to glorify Him in a life of obedience, you are not saved by your works. But when you're saved by the work of Christ, He writes His law upon your heart and He gives you a desire to fulfill it and to live out a life of godliness and holiness that will magnify Him who saved you. No true Christian can ever desire to be free from the directives and the moral imperatives of God's law. A man who's genuinely saved would think that it was hell on earth, not heaven on earth, to be separated from an obligation of obedience to his God. Anarchy has no part in the makeup of a genuine believer, a man whose heart has been washed in the blood and to whom has been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to give him a gracious standing with God. That man will say with Paul that the law is holy and just and good. And therefore, I delight in that law of God after the inward man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:21, I am not without law to God. I am under the law to Christ. What a statement. I am not under the law as a covenant whereby I work my way to heaven. Thank God Jesus worked my way to heaven for me. But as one who has been freed from the curse and the condemnation of that covenant of works, as one who has been freely justified by the grace of God and washed in the blood of God's dear Lamb, I find my heart bound to obey God in Christ. So even grace does not annul God's moral law.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 1-800-273-29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.